And I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We're going to begin reading with verse number 3 and read down through verse number 9. And if you're able, I would ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read these verses. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask your blessing on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is a passage of what probably is a fairly familiar occurrence in the life of Christ. Yet in this passage, there are a number of thoughts that are just rich and should be developed all by themselves. I think the first thing that jumps out to me is at the end of verse number 4, after she had anointed Jesus' head with this costly ointment. And those disciples said, why was this waste made? Why was this waste of the ointment made? Now, what was her motivation of doing that? She was serving Christ. She was trying to honor him. And as she was doing that, others looked around and they said, what a waste. And we have so many today that think it's a waste to give their lives to Christ and to serve him. And so often people will say when a young person surrenders to the mission field, they say, what a waste. They have such a promising future in the business world. And in fact, it's exactly the opposite. It's a waste when a young person who has great abilities and talents gives it to the secular world and not to Christ. And so we could develop that, and chances are, in time, you'll get that as a message. Why was this waste made? But I don't want to focus there. Another good area that I had every intention of preaching, but before I could preach it, we had a guest speaker, and I think it was during our missions conference, someone preached this theme, but in verse number 8, the first phrase, she hath done what she could. You know, so often we think that because we can't do much that we won't do anything. It's not worth our efforts to do just a little bit if that's all we can do. But, you know, this lady did what she could. It wasn't a lot. Now, we know the ointment was costly, but she anointed Jesus for the burial, in itself a very insignificant thing, and it was actually redone after his death on the cross. And so in the grand scope of things, this was a very minuscule thing. And yet Jesus applauds her. In fact, he says in the next verse that wherever the gospel is preached over the whole world, what this lady did will be mentioned. And he put it in his word to make certain that's exactly what happened. And so she did what she could. And so the question is, are we doing what we can? It may not be much, but are we doing it? But those aren't the themes I want to talk about this morning. Good themes and worthy themes and probably themes you'll hear about in the future. But I want to look at verse number 6 and the last phrase. After they're complaining, the disciples are complaining about the waste. Jesus says, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? And then this next phrase, the second half of verse number 6, is where I want to spend a little time this morning. She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath wrought a good work. What is it that made it a good work? What was particular about what she did? Was there anything special in that ointment? And of course, the answer is no. It was obviously costly. The Bible tells us that. And we can go back into the cultural significance of it, but we don't want to spend our time there. But they would save this up, and it'd be something that they would use for their own burials. And she was giving what she had to the Lord. And so that's not necessarily what made it, just the fact that she anointed him with oil. That's not what made it a good work. I think there's at least five different things that make it a good work. And the first is that what she did in love for the Savior. She realized that Jesus had first loved her, so then she in turn loved him in return. So often we know that Jesus loves us because the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we cling to that verse that God loves us, but how much do we respond to that love? Now, if you want to develop a relationship with another person and you demonstrate your love to them, but they never demonstrate that love back, how does that feel? It doesn't feel very pleasant. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. It seems like they're just not very responsive. That I'd suggest this morning that there's a lot of Christians that God feels exactly that way about. God has demonstrated his love to them when he sent his Son to die on the cross for their sins so that they could have eternal life with him in heaven and wouldn't have to suffer in the lake of fire for all eternity prepared for the devil and his angels. And God did that great demonstration of love for them. And it goes so much beyond that as well in preparing this environment that we know is our universe just for us, and then providing in every way for us as we live in this world and giving us good things. God over and over and over demonstrates his love. We call them blessings. But how often do we demonstrate our love to him? What is our attitude when it comes time for church? Is it, oh man, I got to get up out of bed and go to church again? Is it Sunday already? And what is our attitude when it comes to reading our Bibles? Is it, man, I've got so many other things to do, I can barely squeeze a few moments in God's Word? What is our attitude when it comes to things such as Brother Scott was mentioning about going in the car show and doing something as simple as just dropping some Veterans Day postcards and invitations in the car windows? What is our attitude towards that? Oh man, they're asking me to do something else for God. What makes it a good work is when we do it in love and not out of necessity. When we do it out of love and not out of obligation. When we do it just because we love God. What do you do on a daily basis or a weekly basis just because you love God? That makes it a good work. A good work. She hath wrought a good work because it was done in love. She also, secondly, wrought a good work because I believe it was done in faith. It was done in faith. Now, breaking that bottle of ointment that was intended for her would be very unusual to do it for another person. There would have to be something particularly unusual about that individual for someone to do that. And yet she does it here for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? I think it's because she had faith that Jesus Christ was the very Son of God. I think she believed that he was born of a virgin as he had proclaimed, and that he had lived a sinless life as the Bible records for us. And she knew and understood all that about him, and she understood that he would soon die, as Jesus told the disciples time and time again that they were going to Jerusalem. And when they got there, he'd be betrayed. And that when he was betrayed, he would be given to a mockery of a trial and then crucified and buried, but then raised the third day. Now, the disciples didn't understand that. They didn't believe it. They really didn't get it. But Mary did. Mary did. Why did she? We assume this was Mary, this lady who broke that ointment and poured it on his head, broke the bottle of ointment. Now, why did she do that? She was anointing him for his burial. Jesus says so. She understood that Jesus would soon leave them through death. Now, whether she understood the concept or the idea that he would then raise the third day, we don't know for sure. But I believe that she did it in faith, believing that Jesus was the very Son of God and that he would do exactly what he said he was going to do. And the way he said things would play out is exactly what she believed would happen. And it did, and her faith was not disappointed. But it was substantiated in the days that followed. She did it in faith. Now, why do we do some of the things that we do? Do we do things in faith? Now, I try to share the gospel at every opportunity through faith, that some will get saved. Not all will, I understand that, but that some will get saved, that some want to hear it, that some are searching for a Savior. Some are concerned about what will happen after they leave this world, and they don't want to suffer an eternity in hell. But they just don't know how to get to heaven. And so it's a great privilege that we have as Christians to simply share that Jesus died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day for their justification. If they'll just trust Him and put their faith in Him and call on Him, they'll be saved. You see, we do that in faith, believing that some will get saved and that when we get to heaven, there'll be those that are there that will welcome us and say, "I'm so glad you took the time to leave that gospel track there. I read it and got saved." Or, "I'm so glad you knocked on my door and shared how Jesus could get saved. I didn't get saved then, but I thought about it and the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart and I eventually trusted Christ." What a glorious day that'll be to get up there and see those that are in heaven because we had a part in their salvation. God says that some plant the seed, some sow the seed, and others reap the harvest. Talking about those that share the gospel with the lost soul the first time are those that plant the seed. Those that sow it are those that come along after it's already been told and explained to an individual, but then re-explain it. Very few people get saved the first time that they heard the gospel. Is there anyone else? I did. I guess I'm just a strange one. But I got saved the first time. Anybody else get saved the first time you heard the gospel? No hands are raised but mine. Because some plant, others need to sow that seed. You don't plant a seed and expect it to grow the next day. It takes time. You've got to work that soil and make sure that seed has the proper nutrients. Then it begins to grow, and it grows for a while, and then it bears fruit. But then there's others who have the privilege of reaping. Those are those that get to lead that soul to Christ when they bow their head and trust Christ as their Savior, calling out to Him for salvation. How many have you had that opportunity to reap? There is nothing like it in the world because everything we do in the world, for the most part, ends with this world. But when you lead someone to Christ, you're doing something that will last throughout all eternity. There is no better feeling than leading a soul to Christ. But we do it by faith. We do it by faith. And it's a good work. Because it's done by faith. She hath wrought a good work because it was done in love, it was done in faith, but it also, thirdly, was done as worship. Done as worship. If we believe that this is Mary, we know the life she had before she encountered Christ. It was not the kind of life that any of you would like to live or have one of your daughters live. It was not a good life. But then Jesus came along one day and everything changed for Mary. And all of a sudden, she's a woman of honor and dignity because Christ has entered her life and has changed it and made it new. What a wonderful thing that God does in our lives and changing us and washing the old filth away and making us someone respectable in society and someone that others want to pattern their lives after if we live the way God expects us to live and as ordered in the Word of God. And as a result of that, when we serve God, as a result of the change in our lives, when we do things for Christ, we should do it as an act of worship. Not just love, not just faith, but because we're worshiping our Savior by giving Him our bodies as His vessel, as His instrument, as His tool. We talked about spiritual gifts. We're beginning a lesson on spiritual gifts in Sunday school, 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. And we're talking about spiritual gifts, and what a great definition of a spiritual gift that Louis Berry Schaefer gave. He said, a spiritual gift is the Holy Spirit doing a work using the believer as his instrument. That's all we are, an instrument. We offer ourselves to God saying, God, please use me. That's worship. We have a false idea of what worship is today because it's so misused. Worship today is defined as singing or the song service. And so some churches have the worship service, and then they have the sharing of God's word. Usually when a church does that, the sharing of God's word is not preaching. It's just a little talk. And that's unfortunate because they've entirely missed the concept of worship. But if you follow the word worship and do a word study through the word of God, now that word occurs a large number of times, but you find that it does involve a song service, but it also involves worshiping God by giving attention to his word through its preaching and teaching, and it also involves serving God in some manner or fashion with your life in the local church or through the ministries of the local church. Service is worship. And we do it because God has changed our lives. We were once a sinner on the road to hell. But then Christ entered, redeemed us, cleansed us from our sin, and turned us around. And now we're on the road to heaven. It doesn't get any better than that. And so we worship God for the change in our lives. This woman broke the bottle, poured the ointment on Jesus' head, and Jesus said, she hath wrought a good work. It was done in love, it was done in faith, it was done as worship, but I believe it was also done as service. As service. She understood Jesus was going to die, and so she knew this was something that he needed to have done. Something he needed to have done. Now, think about that in a local church setting. What does God need to have done here? We have a lot of things that need doing. Thursday night, we have something that needs doing. We have our scheduled organized church visitation where we go invite our neighbors to church. People think this is old-fashioned because not many churches do it today. It might be old-fashioned, but the churches that are growing across America that are doing it the Bible way still do it. The churches that aren't doing it are the churches that are shrinking and that are dying off. Now, Jesus could knock on those doors himself. He could show up. He wouldn't have to use the door, would he? Just like in the upper room, he could just show up in their living room. How'd you like to have Jesus show up in your living room some night and say, hi, I'm Jesus, and I'd like you to come to church this Sunday. Just think how many people would show up in church. Or would they show up in the psychiatrist's office instead? Who knows what they would think? But the fact is, Jesus didn't choose to do it that way. Jesus chose to use you. It's a work of service that Jesus needs to have done, just as he needed to be anointed for his burial. Nobody else was getting it. The disciples were told numerous times by this point, and they didn't get it. But one got it, and she said, you know what? He needs this. And so I'm going to make the sacrifice, and I'll be the one to do it. You don't see people lining up behind her to do it. She was all alone. And that did not stop her, because she was serving God, and she knew it was Jesus' need at the moment. There's a lot of things we need. A lot of people have stepped in and filled those needs. Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, put a plug in for our lobby watch group. The sign-up sheet is still there. It'll be up there probably through the end of the month. A lot of things happen in a local church. Jesus could do all of it. He could just speak it and it could happen. But he chooses not to. He gives you the opportunity and the privilege to serve him. How about you? You see, that makes it a good work. She hath wrought a good work. And then fifthly, I believe it was done unashamedly. Unashamedly. Now, if you read this account and really understand what's happening here, you find that she's mocked. She's looked down upon for having done what she did. But I don't think at the end of the day she says, you know, I kind of think that was a stupid idea. I don't think you find her saying that. You see, she was unashamed to do this for Christ. She was unashamed to stand alone for Christ. She was unashamed to do what Jesus needed done all by herself. She wasn't afraid who saw her. She wasn't afraid what they thought about her. All she knew was that she loved her Savior and she was willing to do what He wanted her to do. And that made it a good work. We have a lot of Christians today that are Christians behind closed doors. You know, the Sodomite crowd is coming out of their closets. It's time for the Christians to come out of their closets. We may be belittled, we may be mocked, we may be made fun of, and people may think less of us if they know that we're a Bible believer and that we still believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But we ought not care what they think about us, because we ought to be concerned about what a God in heaven thinks about us and the things that we're doing in life. Are the things that we're doing in life a good work, or are they a vain work? A vain work is useless, has no eternal value. But so often our lives are filled with those vain works, and we, because of what we are afraid others will think of us, we neglect to do the good works. She did it unashamedly. Are you ashamed to be a Christian? Are you embarrassed to bow your head in public and thank God for the food? Are you ashamed to carry your Bible with you? Are you ashamed that people know you go to church? Are you ashamed that cussing offends you? At least it ought to offend you. Are you ashamed that when people take the Lord's name in vain, that it bothers you? Are you ashamed to stand for what's right on behalf of God? To stand in the place of the innocent who has not the opportunity to speak for themselves, such as those that are being murdered in their mother's wombs? Are you ashamed to do these things? You see, this woman who broke this bottle and poured the ointment on Jesus' head was not ashamed. She didn't care who saw it or what they thought. And so Jesus says, "Let her alone. She hath wrought a good work." So how about you this morning? What kind of works have you wrought? Have you wrought works in love and faith, as worship, as service, and unashamedly for our Savior? Would Christ look at what you've done and say, "He or she hath wrought a good work on me"? Father, we're so grateful for the privilege of serving you. Father, we know this privilege begins with settling our eternal destination, receiving you as our Savior. Father, if there be anyone here in the room this morning that isn't 100% sure they're on their way to heaven, Father, we pray that as we sing this song of invitation, that they might step out of their seat so that we can have someone take your word and let them know how you tell them they can have a home in heaven without any question, without any doubt. And Father, for those that already know you as their Savior, Lord, help us just now to evaluate our lives, to determine how we've been spending it. Would we be spending it in such a way that you're looking down from heaven and saying, "They have wrought a good work"? Father, help us to respond to your Holy Spirit's prodding during the invitation. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.